And welcome to another edition of Israel Uncensored here on the Land of Israel Network at thelandofisrael.com. My name is Josh Haston. It is the 26th of December, 2016. Happy Hanukkah, happy holidays, whatever holiday you are celebrating at this time of the year. It is a cloudy and cold day in Jerusalem, where I'm sitting just outside the walls of the old city with my main man, Benjamin Bresky, engineer extraordinaire. I love the rain. I love the weather. I love when it gets nice and cold here, but things are actually heating up thanks to the UN Security Council. By now, I'm probably sure you've heard about UNSC 2334, just an all-out attack on Israel, its legitimacy, its connection, its history. And who better to join us to talk about the situation, what it means for us here in Israel, what it means for Jews across the world. Carolyn Glick, Jerusalem Post senior contributing editor, columnist, and author of The Israeli Solution, A One-State Plan for Peace in the Middle East. Carolyn, welcome to Israel Uncensored here on the Land of Israel Network at thelandofisrael.com.
Thanks so much for having me on your program, Josh.
Good to have you back on the show. Wish it was under better circumstances without this barrage against the state of Israel, and we'll get right to it. Front page of today's Jerusalem Post, Jerusalem fears Obama will cause more harm. In other words, things could possibly get worse. If we thought the UN Security Council resolution was just the beginning, not so. With just 2.5, 3 weeks left in his administration, maybe things can get worse. What are your thoughts on that report?
I think that there's a strong likelihood that that's going to happen. I think look, the Obama administration waited 8 years for this lame duck period to take action against Israel. And the period has come, and now they're doing it. They're executing a program that has been waiting to be executed for a long time, and that's what they're doing now. And it's really ugly, and it's really disgusting. And, you know, obviously there's a lot to be said about that, but I don't know exactly which direction to take it. So I
want to know just practically on the ground, you know, how can Israel be harmed even further? I know this is a non-binding Security Council resolution, and reports of maybe John Kerry giving a administration speech, which could lead to even another UN Security Council resolution, even harsher than this one. Where do you see this heading?
Oh, I can see that going there. I can see him. You know, when he was stymied last Thursday, when the government of Israel and the Trump administration intervened with Egypt and got the Egyptians to shelve their resolution. Kerry was actually en route to New York to give a speech to explain why the U.S. Supported this onslaught against Israel. So he didn't come on Friday when they got it done with the Venezuelan government and the Senegalese and the New Zealand and Malaysia. But now he's going to come and give his valedictory speech against Israel. And so, first of all, we know that he was planning on giving a speech. And one of the things that has been bandied about for years is that the administration was going to seek a Security Council resolution to try to bind Israel into parameters of an agreement that would require us to remove ourselves to the 1949 armistice lines and pretend that those were borders and pretend that those are defensible borders. So, I wouldn't be surprised if this is where they're going.
So back to the actual resolution, which was passed thanks to the abstention by the United States, our Prime Minister Netanyahu pointing directly at the Obama administration for this, summoning U.S. Ambassador Dan Shapiro to his office to protest the vote. What significance does that move have? Apparently, it's pretty rare to summon the U.S. ambassador to his residence, and then he summoned others on Christmas Day yesterday. How rare is that, and what does that say about the significance of how the prime minister is feeling these days about what's going on?
Well, I mean, I think that the prime minister is justifiably enraged by what the Americans are doing, because the Obama administration, with 24 days left, is tearing apart the U.S.-Israel alliance. Obama has been systematically destroying the American alliance structure in the Middle East since he took office. He betrayed Israel. He betrayed the Sunnis. All of the anchors of the American alliance system, the Pax Americana in the Middle East, have been torn asunder by Obama over the past 8 years. And now it's taking a wrecking ball to the U.S. alliance with Israel in order to harm us. I mean, that's what he did to Egypt. That's what he's been doing to the Saudis. That's what he's done to every American allied country in the Middle East since he came into office. And now he's doing this last sort of coup de grace. And the thing about it is, of course, that the government has been stating pointedly is that this is deeply hypocritical, that they're doing it at a time when the Americans have enabled the genocide in Syria, the depopulation of Sunni Syria, and the rise of ISIS in Iraq and in Syria, and of course the reestablishment of Russian power in the Middle East for the first time since the 1980s. So this is hypocritical, but I think it's also important to point out this is also two other things. One is that it's immoral. This is evil, what they're doing. They're siding with mass murderers, jihadists, people who want to annihilate the Jewish people, people who want to annihilate the United States. And they're doing it against the people who have always sided with the United States and who are trying to preserve human life and some sort of something bearing close resemblance to civilization in the Middle East. And so it's evil. And the last thing is that it's also a betrayal of the United States. I mean, he is harming, he's causing direct harm. He's endangering America by what he's doing. So that this is not just a betrayal of Israel, and it's a very profound betrayal of Israel. It's very dangerous for Israel. But he's basically setting the world on fire in a way that's fundamentally dangerous to the United States. So this is really amazing. I mean, what we're seeing right now—it's dangerous. It's fraught, and it's difficult to see that you have the Trump administration taking form, and yet, until January 20th, they are utterly powerless to do anything other than act like a lobbying firm, to try to get allies to stand up to the United States itself when the president of the United States is acting in this way.
The resolution itself, Carolyn, how could it possibly have, from a practical perspective, a negative impact on Israel? The passing of the resolution, what can it mean here in the short term for the people of Israel, specifically for the residents of Judea and Samaria? How will this resolution, if at all, affect the lives of those living here?
Well, what it does is it essentially gives a green light to the Palestinians to murder Jews. That's essentially what it does. It gives a strong backwind to all the terrorist organizations, including the PLO. But, the Fatah Central Committee, right, they just had elections, and they elected Marwan Barghouti, who is a convicted mass murderer, sitting in Israeli prison for 5 counts of murder of civilians, which was just a pittance of what he's actually responsible for, but they were the only murders that they could directly link him to, that he was the architect of as the commander of the Palestinian Jihad against Israel under Yasser Arafat from 2000 to 2002 when he was arrested. And then the second place contender was Jabril Rajoub, who he said that if he had a nuclear bomb that he would use it against Israel. I mean, this was Brunke, who actively supports genocide against Israel and is the head of the Palestinian sports or soccer administration or whatever. He took active measures over the past year to get Israel ejected from FIFA, soccer league. He's against peace. And so he's number two, and he was elected, or he came in second because of his activity against Israel And Marwan Barghouti came in first because he's a mass murderer. So, these are the people that are now getting a push from Obama. They're the ones who are being empowered by Obama here directly. And, of course, indirectly, all the forces of jihad, the manifold forces of jihad, both in the region and in the West, are being empowered by this resolution.
Yeah, the question
so
I have then is
he's essential. So the point is that the direct, immediate impact of this resolution is that he's essentially asking the Palestinians to reinstate the terror war against Israel. He's abetting the murder of Jews.
Why then does our prime minister, time and time again, say, I guess at least publicly, that he's willing to sit anytime, anywhere with Mahmoud Abbas, the head of the Fatah? The head of the Palestinian Authority, when these are the people who are surrounding him, and he himself is guilty of causing and creating blood libels against the Jews here in Israel and around the world. Why even say, if you're the Prime Minister of Israel, I'm willing just to show that you're willing to negotiate peace, to show that you're the peaceful party? Why even mention it if these are the jihadist terrorist murderers who we're dealing with?
Well, he did it because he was facing the most hostile American administration Israel's ever seen. And so he was trying to parry the threat that America under the Obama administration has been wielding against Israel to do exactly what they're doing at the Security Council for 8 years. So he was trying to get out from under American pressure by adopting, to the extent he had to, America's positions on the Palestinians, we're saying, by continuing to give legitimacy to this murderous terrorist authority, because he was trying to stave off American pressure. Now, in retrospect of 48 hours or whatever it's been since the Americans began their anti-Israel offensive overtly at the Security Council, you can question whether that was the right policy. I was just thinking about it this morning, whether what Obama's doing means that what we did to try to stave off his offensive against us for 8 years was the right policy or not. And I'm not sure. I'm not sure where I come down on that, because I'm not sure what other choice we had.
Right.
And what we're experiencing now would have happened, any time since 2009. If we had taken any other action. But this is something that's for you really have to sit down and think about very deeply to try to come to a conclusion about that. But that is the reason that Netanyahu has had this policy since it was coerced, since the Americans coerced him to adopt it in 2009 when he made the Bar-Ilan speech in September. So, that's the rationale for what Israel has been doing. And now we're just seeing that all the fears, all the anxieties that we had that Obama was going to use this opportunity as a lame duck to advance a policy that he couldn't possibly sell to the American people who oppose it, that's exactly what's happening. Now, the silver lining of what's going on here is that the clock keeps ticking, and that regardless of what he does and the forces, the dogs of war that he is unleashing now and empowering now, that they're going to be facing a completely different American administration in 24 days. So, time does pass no matter what. It never stands still. And he does only have 24 days left, and he is going to do Act Two of this. And I wouldn't be surprised if he's also doing other things behind the scenes that we don't see, in terms of all of the Israeli military and strategic secrets that the Americans, that we've shared with the United States. I wouldn't be at all surprised if those were compromised in some way over the next 24 days, and we have to be very wary of that. But publicly, he's doing what he's been threatening to do, and so we have to be planning for the day after, but we also have to right now be absorbing blow after blow after blow from Obama over the next 24 days.
You mentioned, Carolyn, just a few minutes ago that this resolution is damaging and dangerous, not only for Israel, but for the United States. And I think you said something on your Facebook page, I believe it was yours, I hope I'm not misquoting, that those who should really be worried are the U.S. Jews, the Jews in the United States, not just the Jews here. I think that was you that said that. If you can't expand on that thought.
Right. So the thing with the American Jews is twofold. One is, here is the time to really say we told you so, right? I mean, and I think that they deserve to be having that place, you know, pushed in their faces right now, that you had 78% of American Jews supporting Obama in 2008, despite the overwhelming evidence already then that he was an anti-Semite. This is a man who was an active member in an anti-Semitic church in Chicago under Jeremiah Wright's leadership for 20 years. This is a man who comported with terrorists, with Dean Dorn and with Bill Ayers, who dedicated their book, The Weather Underground's book, to Sirhan Sirhan, the Palestinian terrorist who assassinated Robert Kennedy because of his support for Israel. You know, this is a man who was close friends with Rashid Khalidi, who was a Palestinian, a professor and a PLO member and propagandist. So his legion ties to terrorism were already known. His support for anti-Semites at a minimum were already public knowledge, and the American Jewish community pretended it away because they wanted to vote for him for president. And then the most appalling thing is that after he already had developed a record as the most hostile American president to Israel and to Jewish interests in the United States, in his first term, they again reelected him by some 70% margin, so that, you know, they deserve to really be called on their insanity for supporting a man who was such an enemy of the Jewish people. But looking forward, look, I mean, what are the forces that are still going to be empowered after Republicans maintain control over the Senate and the House and after they take over the White House? Well, those are all of the liberal institutions. They're the universities, they're the entertainment, FOSA in the United States and all the rest of popular culture. Mm-hmm. And these are getting a backwind from the UN Security Council, so that BDS operations on campuses must be curbed by the Republican House and Senate through ending funding for universities that enable it. But the BDS forces on campuses are going to now feel emboldened to even further terrorize Jewish students on campus. The left in the United States, the non-elected left, and grassroots leftists are going to embrace whole hog anti-Semitism, as we see with the rise also of Keith Ellison, the Nation of Islam member and the supporter of the Muslim Brotherhood, who's now the front runner to take over the Democratic National Committee. And so all of the institutions that American Jewry has really wanted to be a part of and to make their political home in and their activist home in are now, as a result of what Obama's doing in his last month in office, becoming openly anti-Semitic forces. And so, you know, this is bad for American Jews, whether they're on the left or not. And I mean, to have such a significant constituency in the United States emboldened by a president who's soon to become their leader as an activist, as a former president, being openly anti-Semitic, openly hostile to the Jewish state, and to American interests more broadly, this is very, very bad for American Jews. This places them in a perilous situation that they really have never been in before. And again, this is so much of this is their own fault for refusing to read the writing on the wall, for refusing to heed the warnings, for refusing to understand that they are a minority in the United States, and their first and foremost interest should be to defend their rights as a minority in the United States through, among other things, supporting Israel against a hostile administration. And their failure to do that is placed then first and foremost in the crosshairs of this dragon that Obama is fueling with his actions this month.
It would be interesting to see if there were a third or a potential third Obama term, another election, how many, even at this point, how many Jews in the U.S. would still vote for Obama after all this?
Well, we know that because Hillary was, of course, his stand-in in the last election. And I think, again, it was 70% of American Jews voted for Clinton.
Insane.
So they haven't learned. And also you see, for American Jews, not in leadership, but how dangerous this is with two things. One is that the Anti-Defamation League has become Hoan, a member of the far-left activist groups. They're initial support for Keith Ellison, and then they're going after Steve Bannon, who's one of the strongest pro-Israel voices in the incoming Trump administration, and their false, libelous claims that he's an anti-Semite. And then with the American Jewish Committee, of all things, now pairing with CARE, which is a Muslim Brotherhood organization, to form some sort of an inter-religious committee that is supposed to be lobbying to prevent the incoming Trump administration from limiting Muslim immigration to the United States, despite what we see throughout Europe and even in the United States, which is that there's no ability to vet these people who are coming into Western countries, and many of them, many of them are jihadists. And so here is the American Jewish Committee fighting, pairing with, partnering with CARE, which is a Muslim Brotherhood organization that supports Hamas, in order to protect the rights of these of Muslims who freely immigrate into the United States. These people have just lost it. I mean, they lost the plot. They don't understand what they're doing. They've forgotten that their primary duty is to the Jewish community of the United States, and they are sacrificing their communal standing, their communal rights, their freedoms, in order to somehow or another remain part of the left, even though under Obama, as we see today, the left is becoming openly, overtly hostile to Jewish interests in Israel and throughout the world.
Yeah, you would think that things would change after 9/11 back in 2001 in terms of mentality.
They have changed after 9/11, haven't they? They've become demonstrably worse.
Yeah, I guess right? So. I mean, they've become worse.
You know,
but
on September 10th, 2001, September 10th, you know, the willingness of Americans to cater to their haters, their jihadist haters, was much smaller than it is today.
Wow.
And
crazy.
So, you know, you have to see that the worst thing is that, you know, Osama bin Laden is triumphing. He triumphs every time that the Americans turn their backs on the victims of jihad and the targets of jihad and side with the jihadists against the targets. And that's what they're doing with Israel. And that's what they're doing in Syria. That's what they're doing in Iraq. That's what, of course, they're doing in Iran. And throughout the world. And this is really devastating. And it's a terrible thing to behold. It's a terrible thing to witness. And most importantly, Josh, it's extremely dangerous. So what we have to do is very quickly, Israel needs to put together and begin implementing a policy that has zero tolerance for jihadists, that has zero tolerance for enablers of jihad, particularly the UN, because you know, the Trump administration is not going to be to the right of Israel on any of these issues. And so it has to follow a lead. And now that we are finally freed of the necessity of paying lip service to Obama and pretending away his hatred of us, over the next 3 weeks, the government of Israel has to put together a very clear policy of what we're going to do regarding the UN, what we would anticipate and request of the Trump administration to do in regards to the UN, in regards to the Palestinians, and in regards to Iran, so that they have somebody to follow. I mean, we have to be further to the right, more strong than we would expect them to be, because if we want them to be able to begin to repair the damage, the massive damage that Obama has caused over the past 8 years, that he is causing now, the mayhem he is causing now in his last weeks in power, we have to be clear about where we want to go, not only in regards to the Palestinians, but in regards to the UN and the NGOs that are funded by European governments whose goal is to subvert and undermine and paralyze Israel. These are all things that have to take place now. It's the urgency couldn't be greater. This is our time to break forth and lead, and we must, because our lives are hanging in the balance. So this is what Obama is enabling. This is what Obama is empowering, and this is what Obama was working towards.
On that note, very last question, if you can comment quickly. You just mentioned what you believe Israel needs to be doing on a government mm-hmm. level. The average Israeli who is seeing all this unfold on social media, in the press, what can the average Israeli do to help fight this injustice, help fight these last 3 weeks of the administration which seeks to harm the state of Israel, the Jewish state of Israel? What can the average Israeli sitting at home, armed with Twitter, with Facebook, with a pen, what can people do?
Well, we have to, on our social media, in our presence, in the expanding concentric circles that go out in waves, we have to firmly support the immediate January 21st transfer of the U.S. Embassy to Jerusalem. We have to firmly and outspokenly support the Israeli sovereign rights in Judea and Samaria, and the need now that the Palestinians have turned their back completely on the peace process by pushing this UN Security Council resolution. We have to call for the administration of Area C, the area that has all of the Jewish communities of Judea and Samaria in them, that they have to be administered now by Israeli law, not by military law. We have to denounce Obama, have mm-hmm. to make very clear, without stuttering and without hemming and hawing, that this man is hostile not only to Israel, but to America, to the very survival of Western civilization, and that we support Donald Trump in any means that he takes to repudiate Obama's dangerous, harmful, hostile anti-Semitic legacy, anti-American legacy in the Middle East. I think that the more that people hear this from Israelis, from Jews, the more unified we are in our statements about these issues, the stronger our voice will be. We need to empower the Trump administration. We need to empower the Israeli government to take the bold steps necessary to destroy Obama's harmful, terrible, dangerous legacy of hate for the West, of hate for Jews, and of support for jihadists. This is something that we all have to do. This is something we can all do. And this is something that we must do now.
Carolyn Glick, analysis that you're getting nowhere else. Jerusalem Post senior contributing editor, columnist, and author of The Israeli Solution, A One-State Plan for Peace in the Middle East. A good friend. I want to thank you so much for your time. I know you're extremely busy, especially now with everything going on. Looking forward to reading your column in Tuesday's Jerusalem Post. I'm sure it's going to cover a lot of this, so I'm looking forward to that.
All going on, and it's also going on is celebrating Hanukkah with my family. And
exactly.
I think all of us should also understand that this is Hanukkah. This is the time that we remember when a small Jewish band of fighters was able to defeat the Greek Empire and preserve Judaism and preserve our temple. And we have to take an example from our forefathers and understand that it doesn't matter how few we are in number, we can overcome the greatest odds if we believe in ourselves and we stay true to who we are. We can do this. This is not beyond our capacity, and we have every reason to be proud of who we are and to educate our children to feel privileged that they're Jews and that we have our country and that we must work to preserve it as the Maccabees did back thousands of years ago.
Amen to that.
Okay.
Thanks so much
all
for your time, Carolyn.
Care.
All the best.
All right. Have a great day and enjoy the holiday.
Hanukkah Sameach. Take care.
All right, take care. Bye-bye.
We're going to take a short break, folks. Be right back. This is Josh Haston here, Israel Uncensored, the Land of Israel Network at thelandofisrael.com. And that's just an amazing analysis. I mean, if you wanted to understand what this UN Security Council resolution is all about and you missed any of that, go back and listen to it again. I mean, that's 20 minutes or so that you're just not getting anywhere else other than here on the Land of Israel Network. Amazing analysis from the one and only Carolyn Glick. We'll take a short break and thank our sponsors. Coming right back, Josh Haston here. Get in touch with me during the week, josh@thelandofisrael.com, on Twitter @JoshHaston, and on Facebook, it's Joshua Haston. Short break, and we'll be right back.
The story of Hanukkah recalls the miraculous victory of a small band of patriots against tyranny and the oil that burned for 8 nights.
Like the Maccabees, we must vigilantly oppose religious prejudice.
A band of Maccabees who inspire us even today. They were outnumbered, they were outarmed, and yet they proved that freedom can prevail over tyranny.
When God kept the oil in the eternal flame burning for 8 days, He gave us the miracle of Hanukkah, a holiday of hope and rededication for every Jewish family.
Happy Hanukkah from the Land of Israel Network at thelandofisrael.com.
The best place to stay in Jerusalem is at Windows of Jerusalem Vacation Apartments. Check out their website, www.windowsofjerusalem.com. They've got beautiful 1, 2, 3, 4-bedroom apartments in the best location in the city center with the most beautiful, breathtaking views. And I mean breathtaking. I've stayed there a number of times myself. And I'm telling you, there are few places anywhere in the city where you can take it all in to this degree. The view, the location, the great apartments, plus the wonderful staff will truly make you feel at home in Jerusalem. Book your stay now at windowsofjerusalem.com.
And we are back. Josh Easton here, Israel Uncensored, on the Land of Israel Network at thelandofisrael.com. Again, I can't stress enough, if you missed the first half of the show, go back and listen to the words of Carolyn Glick, expert analysis on the UN Security Council, anti-Israel UN Security Council resolution, and what we can and should be doing now in these last few weeks of a hostile U.S. administration. The prime minister himself and other government officials, everyone is pointing their finger at Obama, saying he is the one who introduced the language of the anti-Israel, anti-Judean Samaria resolution. He is the one behind it. You know, you have all these other countries who voted for it, and you can lay the blame with those countries as well for approving it. But the U.S. for years has been vetoing this type of language. The U.S. committed to keep vetoing these types of resolutions. And not only did they not veto it, but the sources indicate that it was the president himself, President Obama, John Kerry, Secretary of State in his administration, they were responsible for drafting this anti-Israel resolution. Just want to end on one other note here to show you the impact, and Carolyn mentioned what this does, the impact of the resolution, how it emboldens the terrorists, and well, let's go to Palestinian Media Watch here. If you look, if you follow the media in Arabic as they do, it says here, Itamar Marcus says, 3 days ago, Fatah's official Facebook page posted a drawing of a map of Palestine, of course, the entire country of Israel. They mark as Palestine, Tel Aviv, Haifa, the whole country, not just Judea and Samaria. It's painted like a Palestinian flag being used to stab the word settlement. Again, referring to the entire country, very important. And the text above the image says, hashtag Palestine will defeat the settlement, meaning it will destroy this, the entire state of Israel. That was the image from a few days ago. Then the UN Security Council resolution was passed, and the image now has changed. The image now is Fatah thanking the 14 countries for their UN vote. The countries are listed in the image because they interpret the UN as granting Fatah permission to kill Israelis. It's actually, he rephrases it, let's be clear, Marcus phrases it in the form of a question. Is Fatah thanking them because they interpret it to get to have permission now to kill Israelis? I see it as that. As Carolyn mentioned it as well, I mean, this emboldens the terrorists and emboldens their mission to wipe the entire area of all its Jews in all parts of the country. I think it's crystal clear what the message is now, thanking those countries. But any way you interpret it, Fatah is saying more Israelis will pay with their lives as a result of the UN resolution. Just an example, just several days after, of what harmful effects the resolution has, the incitement towards hatred, the green light, as Carolyn said, to carry out acts of terror against the Jews here in the Land of Israel. And Jews around the world need to be wary as a result of this resolution, whether it's the BDSers on campus who will, could interpret this as a green light, or those who want to carry out physical violence, jihadist attacks against Jews wherever they are. Please God, it shouldn't happen. And let's finish off, as Carolyn did, on the positive. It is Hanukkah. The few defeated the many back in the day. Let's be like the Hashmonaim. Let's be like our ancestors who rose up despite all the odds and did what was necessary to maintain our existence, to maintain our heritage and our legacy and our rights to this land, to the land of Israel. And let's all be safe, as I always leave you with that message between now and next time when we speak. Get in touch with me during the week. If you have any questions for myself or for Carolyn, I'm happy to pass those on. Josh@thelandofisrael.com. On Facebook, it's Joshua Haston. On Twitter, @JoshHaston. Chag Sameach. Enjoy the Festival of Lights or whatever you are celebrating this time of year. From a rainy and cold Jerusalem, here with my main man, Binyamin Breski, I'm Josh Haston. I am out. Shalom. Goodbye. Be safe from Jerusalem. Founded in 1902, World Mizrahi is a global, Torah-driven, community-focused educational organization committed to Jewish identity and destiny. The Land of Israel Network is powered by the Mizrahi World Movement.
Do you like picking strawberries or blueberries in the spring and summer? What about grapes? If you were to take an experience like picking grapes and move it to the heartland of Israel, this is when an experience becomes prophetic. Young and old, singles and families are all invited on this adventure of a lifetime. I'm Joshua Waller with Hayuvel, and I invite you to join us on the mountains of Israel, where prophecy meets reality. Go to Hayuvel.com, that's HAYOVEL.com, for more information.